the P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
What was that?
Yeah, I got two throats.
You heard me.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure
Let's
Boys.
Let's bring this energy into
Hold
the show.
Hold up, it's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Yeah! Ciao, Cross Monkeys. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam and Chiz.
And I'm Steve. Can you give me a quick context on that Cross Monkeys thing? Because how it's not racist?
It's not racist because it doesn't mean anything. It's just it's a way to describe our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a cross monkey.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. Well, he was up on that cross. So, hey, what's your name?
My name is Steve. I'm pretty sure I said I was Steve, right?
You might have said that, yeah. I was too busy thinking about that this is our 100th episode.
Pop. I was going to go get champagne or at least non-alcoholic champagne, like apple cider, I guess.
I guess,
but
yeah.
Then I didn't.
Hey, apple cider summer, here we go.
Every movie should have a clear person opening a bottle of champagne.
Every movie, including 2014, Step Up All In, should include a scene where someone walks into a room and just domes a glass of champagne and then goes, fill it up again.
Can you do that? Can you just fill it up again?
I don't know. I feel like, can you chug champagne? I don't think that would be good. Also, champagne's not very good.
No, according to a lot of, like, music videos, I think you can chug champagne, you can bathe in it, you can do... It's like a multi-purpose thing, like bleach.
Right, it's like gamer girl bathwater. You can do whatever you want with it. You can drink it, you can bathe in it, you can drink it, you can vape it, you can put it in a humidifier and warm your room up.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's just water.
Can you run your, like, CPAP machine? Your,
I don't know.
Because you need to use distilled water. Is the cam girl water distilled?
Yeah, gamer girl bath water is the purest of waters. It's
okay.
Yeah. You can't get a higher quality filter than through a gamer girl's vagin ass.
It touches the ass too?
Of course. Have you ever been in a bath? You go in ass first most of the time.
Yeah, but that's where your butt is too.
You put in your disgusting feet first, and then you lower in your rotten ass second, and then your jennies, and then the rest of you goes in, and that's getting into a bath.
This is why you gotta shower first and shower after.
Exactly.
All tub goers.
That's right, yeah. Even if you just take a whore's bath, you're still doing better than getting in raw dog.
Would you like to know that you're the one who taught me the meaning of whore's bath? I've been, like, obviously in those streets talking about whore's bath all the time because, you know, it's cool to say.
Yeah.
But you, like, taught me the ins and outs of what it really is.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I mean, like, Austin Powers taught me what it is, and I guess I passed it on to you.
Well, yeah, that's why I kept saying it, because I heard it in Austin Powers, and it combines the words whores and bath. But I really didn't know what it was.
Tops and tails.
When we were living together, you were taking a whore's bath, and I put two and two together.
Boy, what a sad time in my life that was. I guess if I was taking whore's bath, that's not a good place to be in.
See, this is the thing: we need to really generalize whore's baths, because whore's baths are for everybody. You need to wash up a little bit before you go out on the town. That's for everyone, man.
I'm sorry, are you saying whore's baths or horse baths? Because I'm into both.
I'm definitely into horses bathing.
Yeah, I'm definitely into horsey baths.
I mean, the neighing, the sunlight, the cool mist running through that sunlight. It's beautiful.
Let me drink a big, tall glass of horse girl bathwater. That's what I want.
You think we're going to watch a lot of horses bathing this summer?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I do know one thing for sure, though, that we need to start this show the way we start all of our shows, and that's with the Pure Boys Prayer.
I wanted to say clap so much earlier. Clap.
God
bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please.
We love you, please.
Amen.
Or a woman. Step up all in. Step up.
All in. This is the time that they said, okay, we really flubbed it on the last one, guys.
Yeah.
We really dropped the ball. We really need to reinvigorate this franchise and go all in.
How do we do that? We bring back the leads from the last movie who sucked, but then we push Eddie out because he was the suckiest of them.
But then you bring him right back in because he's like a main character in this movie still. Like, they come back within like 15 minutes.
That's true. Yeah. He's got a great set of veneers that he is not used to yet. And he clearly is having trouble talking throughout this movie, which is very funny to see.
They look like chiclets, but as a veneer person myself, I have to say he looks wonderful.
I mean, they look like Michael chiclets. But hey, you know, we're getting too far into Step Up. Oh, right. We have segments that we have to do. Didoy.
I was going to start talking about my notes and really get into it and really flush this turd down the toilet and move on. But yeah, we got to do our segments.
Yeah, of course. And we have to start off with one of the most important questions that someone can ask on a show. And that, of course, being episode 100. Also, listeners, we have nothing planned for this episode. Don't expect it to be special or anything. Steve Creep, whomst was the Beggar Vance of Step Up Revolution?
Well, Adam, I thought about this a lot. This has really been weighing on my mind. I've been reading my Bible, trying to find the answers to this. Finally getting back to God, you know. And I'd have to say the Beggar Vance of Step Up Revolution is large corporations taking over America and gentrifying everything so they can put more money in their pocket.
Like it. Yeah, of course.
Like, of course.
Of course. What why else are we alive if not to provide profit for corporations and shareholders? That's the reason we exist. Duh.
Basically, our whole economy and society is basically giving a little bit more of a percentage to rich people every year.
Yeah.
That's how we're run.
As we should. That's what us serfs are for. That's why God made us.
Yeah, if you want to dance, you dance for a Nike commercial, and you better be good.
Yeah, oh yeah, and if you want to be a dancer, you gotta be tough.
Yeah, you gotta be tough. Oh, I can't wait for that. Anyways, now, Adam, what do you think was the Beggar Vance of Step Up Revolution?
Oh, thanks so much for asking, Steve. And to me, the Beggar Vance of Step Up Revolution, I think, was Miami. And just the, like, the energy that it brought, and the sunshine, and the lowriders, and the cholos, and just all of the life that Miami has in it. And that really was a shot in the arm for what was otherwise a pretty bad movie.
The sex dancing was great.
Oh my god, the sex dancing. Ugh.
That was my runner-up, was Miami.
The sex dancing, yeah. Oh, sorry, Miami. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm not sexual anymore.
No, of course. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Thank you for that. And also, the segment's done. And maybe done forever. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we're trimming out some segments. Who knows?
I think it continues because I think it'd be very good with the thing.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Hey, listeners, this is episode 100. Like, we've done 100 of these. Now, that's not including midweek freak treats and specials because we've done almost 200 things. If I look at our uploads, it's like 170 somewhere in there. But this is episode 100 of the show, which is very exciting. And like, couldn't have come at a better time. We're wrapping up May I Have This Dance. What a pleasure it's been to go through these Step Up movies.
What a pleasure indeed. It's been great actually watching the dancing. I really like the dancing in all of the films.
Yeah.
Breakdancing is great, and I'm so glad it's going to be in the Olympics coming up.
Is it really going to be in the Olympics?
Yeah, I think it's just individual, but it would be amazing if it was crews as well going up against each other. That would be unreal on international level. But yeah, Paris, those liberal bastards are putting in...
Gay Paris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Breakdancing.
Wow, they're putting in breakdancing. I mean, like, they had ballroom dancing at the 98 Nagano Olympics, I think, if I remember correctly.
Exactly, and figure skating? You kidding me?
Oh,
same
yeah.
thing.
And people... hate, like, ballroom dancing is boring. That's boomer stuff. No one cares about that. It is impressive when people do well, but also I don't care. I don't want to watch. I mean, You know, I say that, but I have watched movies about ballroom dancing before. But I'd rather watch breakdancing. There's more energy and life in it.
Yeah, just give me both. Give me all the worlds of dance. And yeah, it's subjective, but so are other sports in the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely great. I can't wait for it, honestly. Yeah. Apparently, there's a whole Red Bull-like tournament and series of breakdancing. And the Canadian guy looks good. I don't know why I like watched a video about him, but
the Haiti guy, yeah.
Yeah. As a man from Haiti.
Yeah, of course. Haiti. Yeah. They recently renamed it Haiti.
Well, they got a lot of flack from the world community over the last couple of years with all these like scandals and, you know, twisters and hurricanes and you just change your name.
They said we're making herstory by changing our name to Haiti.
Yeah, every marketing department knows when to rebrand.
Exactly, and every podcast knows when to rebrand. And, you know, we'll see what happens after episode 100. Maybe there'll be some changes around the Pure Boys town. Who knows? Well, we know, and we're being coy about it. And but, you know, episode 100 seems like a good time, a nice closing of a certain chapter, and maybe the opening of a new chapter. I guess we'll see what comes in June.
We're definitely going to be talking a lot more about chapters, store. Yeah.
For sure.
Indigo.ca.
Of course, yeah, we love Indigo. We love Amazon buying our books off there. We love supporting a big conglomerate like Amazon.
The only time I ever buy books is off of Amazon. That's the only reason I use Amazon anymore is books.
Oh, use thrift books. It's great. You buy used books and they're cheap.
How long do they take to get to you?
Like a month and a half. They take a while. Yeah. Or just like go to your local. Oh, I guess you don't have any local. Well, you do have some local bookstores where you are. You've got some good local bookstores where you are.
Yeah, frick them though. I love Amazon. I love giving them the money.
I know that money that I give them is going right into jet fuel so they can melt those steel beams and launch those ships into space.
Well, jet fuel can't melt steel beams. And so you put the steel beams right into space.
Yeah, someone's been hanging out with some Irishmen if you're saying stuff like that.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And when it's really laid out to you in like a logical manner, you're like, okay, I get it. Space travel, steel beams, rocket fuel, I get it.
Yeah, space travel can't melt steel beams. Everybody knows that. Jet fuel can't melt dank memes.
Wernher von Braun said that jet fuel is the key to the stars.
Famously, Wernher von Braun, a man who I'm guessing based on the name was a Nazi.
He was a bit of a Nazi, and he used, you know, internment camp. Concentration camps. Yeah. To build rockets, and a lot of people died, but you know, it was progress. And then he went over to the U.S. and built NASA.
Right.
Blah blah blah.
Speaking of Nazis, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin!
I was going to have my own Nazi pun situation there, but it wouldn't have worked. I didn't have anything.
Did you Nazi me starting that song?
I Nazi reading this tweet. No, that doesn't work. Shit.
What does that Nazi sympathizer Kevin Sorbo think this week? What kind of tweet you got for us?
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you lay with dogs, you can't be surprised you get fleas. So what is Kevin? What kind? Oh, sorry. You know, sorry. I forgot that we love Kevin Sorbo again. I'm so sorry. I take everything back that I just said. He's Kevin Sorbo was a good man. What beauty does he have for us this week?
And you have to remember, he's not on the other side.
That's true.
Right in the middle.
That's true. But he is on the side that wants to look at children's genitals. We have established that. That's true and fair and correct.
Well, he took a poop at 2:45 p.m. on May 16th, 2023.
Oh, my God.
This one only got 73,400 views.
Wow. Kevin, your days on Twitter are numbered from the sounds of it. Do you think that burns him up inside when he sees only five digits?
Yeah, and I think it might be indicative of the future of Twitter, and fewer and fewer people are using it as a source of information, so that's great.
Yeah, what does Kev say before he jumps over to Parler?
I'm sorry, what?
What does Kev have to say before he jumps over to Parler? Or Truth Social or whatever the new thing is?
Well, this is my favorite topic of Kevin Sorbo's tweets, so I had to pick it. Nothing will happen to Hillary. The justice system in America is broken.
Where is Hunter Biden's laptop? Never forget Benghazi.
Like, is Trump funneling money directly to Kevin Sorbo to tweet these things? I think so.
I mean, I don't even know what Kevin's mad about in regards to Hillary Clinton.
And well, like, she tried to take over the country and...
Well, that's right. Yeah, she was behind January 6th. I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah. It all came out. That's what was on Hunter Biden's laptop, is that Hillary orchestrated January 6th.
Yeah. Hillary talks to Hunter Biden a lot through unsafe emails.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it would expose everything if we just got Hillary into a courtroom.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. The Clintons are dirty, right? Like, they were friends with Epstein, blah, blah, blah. They're monsters. Everyone who has a high position of power is a monster, right? So I'm sure there's bad things about Hillary Clinton that we don't know about. But I don't know what Kev's mad about now. If it's Benghazi, let it go. That was forever ago.
She's definitely flown to an island, probably. And who knows what happens on that island, but I don't think it's legal.
I mean, an island? Absolutely she's gone to an island. If she's been to New York, she's been to an island.
New York's an island? Is that like a metaphor for like peace and love and prosperity or
something?
I think
so. Well, the thing is, no man is an island, but New York is no man.
If you connect an island to the continent, is it not an island anymore?
Ooh, that's a good question. We have to wrap up this segment, though. We are running out of time. You know what? Hey,
yeah, but
episode 100. Do you want to hear the end of the theme song?
No.
Well, too bad. It's episode 100. Let's do something special. All right, he's taking his headphones off. Listeners, this is just for you and me.
You can't control me. I'm independent. I'm not on either side. I'm the real Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin!
That was really good progression.
Thank you.
So is that segment dead?
Yeah, all the segments are dead now. It's a fresh start, clean slate. I mean, no, we'll probably keep Kevlar around.
I like bigger bands. Even though, gosh, nobody knows what that is or what it's in reference to. Even though it's a Will Smith movie, famous slapper.
Hi, I'm Will Smith, famous slapper. Famous cuck slapper.
And then he won. So beautiful.
What do you mean he won? Did he win for his slave movie?
He won for the tennis movie.
Yeah, for the Venus and Serena, the Williams sisters movie.
Best actor. Like, the biggest moment in his entire career.
Was that before
and
or
he
after?
Slapped a man.
Was that before or after he slapped Chris Rock that he won?
He won after.
That's great.
It's the craziest thing. And we love you, Will Smith. We love you, Chris Rock. And we love the slap.
That's true, yeah. And that's been what was in the news a while ago.
Now that's a segment.
What was in the news a while ago?
We could talk about Hillary and Bill and their tricky situation in the 90s.
Finally, we can talk about Benghazi on the show. Finally.
We can talk about OJ. We can talk about Hitler.
We can talk about Bill Clinton getting dome in the White House.
Yeah, I guess we already do, though.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, we do. But
a lot.
Well, anyway, that's been what was in the news a while ago, I guess. Good segment.
That's a good
and
guess.
And she's got to say...
That's a fun one.
I can't believe you actually prompted me not to say anything, and I, like, saw your hand and immediately said something.
Well, I mean, that's the universal sign for talk to the hand, and you're like, oh, it's time to talk to the hand.
Yeah. We were hanging a right while me and my wife were outside, and there was this biker coming and crossing the street, and my wife was turning right, and the biker was looking at me, holding up his hand, so he, like... We would not go because he was coming by. And I just stared at him and I didn't know what to do. And my wife couldn't see him because it was blocked by the car and we almost hit a person.
So wait, who had the right of way in that situation?
Probably them.
But
because, I mean, they should have to get off their bike and cross the street if they're acting like a pedestrian.
Oh, he was
not a vehicle on the sidewalk.
He was crossing the street on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
you absolutely had the right of way then. If he didn't get off his bike, he was in the wrong.
I know, but I thought it was just funny that I just stared at him and I couldn't react. I couldn't say anything, and I just like froze completely and didn't know what to do.
I mean, imagine if your wife had hit and killed that man. His last thought would have been like, "These people are intentionally killing me right now."
Well, we're killers up in these streets, and we don't like bikers. Hey, oh, man, I love bikers.
We're going to start calling you killery.
Yeah.
This is not a political podcast. I need to point that out. This is not a political podcast. This is a dance movie podcast currently.
And we don't want to murder anyone.
No. And we love Kevin Sorbo, even though we don't agree with him and we don't support his beliefs. We love him because why not? Everyone is entitled to their own opinions and beliefs, even if you disagree with them. That's the beauty of the world. It's a bouillabaisse. Mix it up.
Everybody's entitled to love. And I would challenge you out there to love everybody. Everybody love everybody.
Everybody love everybody. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, or don't. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
It's one of my favorite quotes from a Will
Smith movie.
No. The other famous Will that's comedian.
Oh, Will Smith. I think the quote is, "It'd just be raining black people in New York."
Never touch a black man's New York.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. That's my favorite Will Smith quote.
Yeah.
Now that's a whoopin'. Did he say that in his Slave movie? I don't remember.
No, he said that in the Spider movie.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I really can't pull stuff today. Like,
that's okay.
It's just not there in my mind.
Are you drinking bone broth? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking green tea with matcha in it.
Oh, that's why. You don't have that bone broth coursing through your veins, getting your brain lit up.
And I didn't have my full breakfast this morning. I had a Lara bar instead.
Ugh, that doesn't seem like a suitable breakfast. Maybe if you're a mountain climber.
But don't you worry. I'm going to go to the sandwich place, get myself a sandwich, and eat it in the park, and it's going to be lovely.
Hey, you texted me, but last week we talked about you getting a sandwich from Safeway. What was the result of that? What did you think of that Safeway? The listeners want to know. We've been getting inundated with emails about it. The listeners want to know, how was that Safeway sandwich?
I keep forgetting what we actually talk about on the pod and what we talk about before and after. So I had, like, we really talked about that during the episode?
Yeah, that's how Revolution ended. Ended was us was me giving you advice on how to get a good sandwich from Safeway.
And that makes sense. That's what the people want to hear. I went to Safeway. I was very concerned about disrupting a low paid employee's day. And interrupt. I get there. There's already a line because it's near lunch.
Oh,
so
oof.
it's good to go. Mm-hmm. Like, there is an expectation that somebody has to make me a sandwich already. And I get to the counter, and there's these two lovely, cute Filipino ladies that are just giggling and loving their life and just, like, making jokes. And they make me the best sandwich ever. I knew I was in for a real treat when I saw the onions because they were cut so thinly and perfectly. And that takes a little bit of care. So I got myself a turkey bacon guac on a white roll. I might get ciabatta this time. I don't know.
Both are good.
But
both
it was a wonderful experience.
I'm so glad to hear it. And I really thought you were going to say I got myself an onion sandwich and it was delicious. Even an onion sandwich from there with the right sauce, that doesn't sound too bad.
No, it wasn't that. Wouldn't be that bad. I saw a YouTube video of a man making an onion sandwich, and it looked terrible.
And you're like, "Are you my dad? What? Are you my grandpa? Why are you eating like it's the dirty 30s?"
They slathered this thing in mayo, and then like cut off all the crust and made like a circle sandwich, and then covered the like outside crust in mayo, and then dipped it in stuff. It was terrible.
How do you eat that?
With a lot of patience and a lot of dirty 30s mentality.
Ugh. We made a Mexican street corn for supper the other night. And have you ever had Mexican street corn? This guy spit out his drink, spit out his bone broth everywhere.
Yes, but I haven't had, like, I've had good versions and I've had some from food trucks here. But like one of my like goals in life is to go to Mexico or Southern California.
Sure.
Same thing.
Yep, same thing.
And get myself some Mexican street food corn.
It was good, but very messy.
Oh yeah.
Insanely, like it's as we were eating it, I said to my wife, yeah, I will never be eating this outside of our home. Like I'll never get this in public. This is a disaster for my face. This is horrible. My mustache is full of white right now.
Well, that has its benefits, white mustache. But I understand. Even if you were in Mexico, partying it with the locals, you wouldn't cream your mustache for the experience.
Only if I saw true, authentic Mexicans creaming their mustaches. If everyone's got cream on their stash, then hey, cream me up. When in Rome.
Yeah. The problem is you need to have like a really good wiping routine with your napkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all about the routine.
Oh, it's all about the routine. Hey, let's go. Let's God. It's time for Step Up All In 2014 and All In more like urine.
Well, I was about to say Step Up All In more like urine.
Head you off at the pass, buddy.
Yeah, you got me, but I still did it, and I'm proud of myself for just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, right now, I took a fish oil supplement right before the podcast.
Nice.
And I've been burping green tea and fish oil all podcast. It's been a wild journey for my mouth during this record.
Ugh, gross.
It's not bad. Like mackerel. Like, sure. It's fine. I like the taste of the fish.
My wife brought home some shatter the other day, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I haven't smoked shatter in a long time. But one of the last times I smoked it, I watched a guy puke in his mouth and then swallow it back down because he was coughing so hard from taking his hit of shatter. And you can probably guess who I'm talking about, Steve. You know who I'm talking. It's not you, but we know this person.
Okay, now I know who
famous
that
is, yeah. For puking. The most famous puker.
I thought you just saw
ever.
Like a random dude.
Oh, no, 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 no. Well, hey, Step Up All In, though.
Yeah, All In. I'm going all in with this film. I hated the fact that they brought back the same exact crew. Like, the first thing you see is this crew again in L.A., and they suck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The mob from Step Up Revolution is back, and I went, ah, that's a shame. This is the people we're going to hang our hat on. And it's not even Twitch. Like, Twitch is there, and I thought he was going to be a main character, but then he's, like, very quickly kind of, like, shunted off to the side. It was very sad to see. I wanted Twitch to be the main guy in this.
He had a few lines in the beginning, yeah. And I'm like, okay, they're finally going to give Twitch his due, but then, yeah, even in the later scenes when he could have lines... And they're battling and stuff. They give him nothing.
Even in the big dance numbers, he's way off to the side doing stuff. He's very rarely front and center the way he was in the last movie. It made my heart heavy to see that Twitch just kind of got done dirty by that movie, by the franchise, really.
I think he got done dirty by the entire franchise. He should have led one of these movies. He is a star. That smile on him. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I just want to soak it up. He has Channing Tatum energy and just give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, at first when he's dancing in the intro, I'm like, I don't know if I really recognize this guy. But then he takes his shirt off and I was like, oh, it's Twitch. Of course. Of course. I know Twitch. Of course. Topless Twitch.
Give me the smile, give me the abs, give me the twitch.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, give me credits that spoil all the people that are coming up in this movie, because the Moose is back, and Allison Stoner's back, and Chad Smith, a.k.a. the Robot Man, is back, and everybody's back.
This is skipping to the end, sure. But how did you deal with the reveal that the Robot Man can do other dancing? And he can break dance.
I loved
stuff.
It. It made me really happy to see, actually, because I was just like, oh, no, this guy is a one trick. Oh, no, he's got skill. He can dance. Oh, so you think you can dance?
He does. It made me kind of sad because he's like specifically put in that corner throughout the whole series. Like, he's in a lot of these things.
Yeah, he's in four of them, I think. Or no, maybe he joins in three. I can't remember if he's in two. I don't know.
I was thinking about this throughout a lot of these people. I was like, are they in three or are they in two? Yeah. Like, when were they introduced? Because it doesn't make sense for him to be introduced in two because they were still in the school. But right. Everything is blurred together so much by now that it's hard to really remember.
It's a friggin' duck blur as far as I'm concerned.
This whole series is one big duck blur.
Truly. And
for
even,
sure.
Even the main girl. In my notes, I wrote down, oh, it's the main girl from number three. And then I looked her up and was like, nope, it's the main girl from number two.
Yeah. My no wife idea. Clocked it immediately that she was from number two. And I was like, no, I think number three, actually. Yeah. But she groaned up.
Yeah, oh yeah. I got a big crush on that girl in this movie. I'm crushing on her pretty hard throughout this movie. She is a stone cold cutie.
Maybe it's like they brought her back because it's appropriate now to be crushing on her.
I mean, she was probably 27 when they made number two, so.
Yeah, probably 27, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, legitimately.
yeah, for sure. So, but anyway, you know, she's great. Everybody's great. Moose is back. He's great. I feel like everyone got veneers before this movie because Moose is having trouble talking. Eddie, the dumb idiot from the last movie, is having trouble talking. They all got fresh teeth and none of them are used to them yet.
Well, they probably all wear micro mouth guards so they can dance at any moment without feeling unsafe.
Right, without feeling like they might lose all their teeth in a yeah. windmill gone wrong.
Like they might lose their mind, like their head's gonna fly off of their bodies. That's why I wear a mouth guard.
We find out that, you know how the last movie ended with Emily and Sean getting together and it was this beautiful moment. They save Miami and then they get together. What we find on this movie, yeah, they just broke up. Whatever.
Yeah, the classic sequel trope of, oh, we don't have one of the main characters. Oh, they just broke up. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, and also the girl from the second one, her and her boy from the streets. Yeah, they broke up too.
Yeah, they broke up too. You gotta get it in there. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there the whole movie going, but I thought he was with her.
Oh my gosh, she cheating on her boyfriend? No.
Shut up and watch the movie.
Yeah, who are you, Moose, cheating on your girlfriend? Camille, are you crazy?
Isn't her name Moose, too? Aren't they, like, Moose Squared?
Yeah, I think her name is Squirrel.
Right.
Everyone's always on about Moose and Squirrel. Of course, yeah, of course. Boy, when are we doing The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle? When are we doing that on the show?
That's kind of a, you know, Western in its own right.
I mean, we could probably do a month of, like, bad movies based on old cartoons. So we could definitely do like The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Dudley Do-Right,
Inspector Gadget.
I said bad movie, so we'll do Inspector Gadget 2.
The first one bangs. Of course, it bangs hard.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Inspector Gadget, he farting? For sure he does. He absolutely. Penny, who do you think Penny is, if not his daughter or something? The result of him farting.
Oh yeah, the result.
Oh yeah, gush. So I mean, you know, it's tough being a dance crew, and it's just tough making it as a dancer, and sometimes you gotta just audition for a million things and not get anything. Sometimes you get a Nike ad and you think you're set for life, and then nothing happens after that, and that's kind of funny.
Speaking of the first kind of series of dancing is them trying out for all these commercials and having to dress up in stupid things and being judged. Mm-hmm. It's clear in that scene in those montages that they are trying to ingest some humor into this movie. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the humor in this film?
Well, after that opening sequence, I don't think it returns. So I thought it was...
Oh, they definitely do some jokes and they try to put in some funnies.
I mean, like, Keto is certainly a bit of a comic relief character and... I don't know. I guess Moose isn't really that fun in this movie. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about when you say the humor in this movie. I was too busy focused on the dancing.
Were you watching the scenes in between the dancing?
Sometimes.
Because that's when usually it happens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess there's not a lot of chances for comedy during dance-offs.
What? Okay, let's get back to the nitty and the gritty. Can you say that anymore?
The nitty and the gritty?
Yeah.
You could say things are litty like a titty, but I think that's about it.
But not nitty and gritty.
The nitty gritty dirt band just changed their name to the dirt band.
Right. What do you think of the first dance-off between this new crazy crumpin' crew?
Oh my god. Well, the first thing I loved about it is that the very first move we see is someone doing a Channing Tatum patented backflip, and I was pretty stoked on that, actually.
Well, Moose does a backflip later on, too.
I wrote that down. I was like, hey, Moose, stealing from your buddy Channing Tatum. I love it.
Why not?
Hey, why not? If you're out there already giving it your all, you might as well go for it.
It might have been my mood that I was in, but I loved the first dance off. I thought the moves were great. I thought the dancing and the level of dancing was appropriate for the theme and the plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the mob does pretty well, and they do their thing, but then this new crew comes out and does better, finally. Oh,
yeah. Eddie does this thing. Like, here's what I've learned about dance battles. Whoever dances last wins. That's how it...
Certainly in this movie.
That's how it always works across every one of these movies we've seen. Whoever dances last wins. That's just how it... Because they just hog the spotlight. They just... If the first crew dances for 5 minutes, the second crew will dance for 15 minutes and go, we're not letting up. We're just going to keep going.
We should definitely place bets on the Olympics for breakdancing, because we should just bet on the second person that dances, because they'll always win.
Well, not even the second, just the final. Whoever dances last, even if there's 10 crews, whoever dances last.
But whoever dances last does always win, and it's throughout this whole series that is the case. But I felt like in this movie, the second dance was actually better than the first, finally.
I agree. Yeah, and I liked that Jasper, like, while the mob was doing their thing, Jasper's crew, the Grim Knights, were, like, kind of dancing with them. Like, they were, you could, like, whenever the mob would step to the Grim Knights, they were kind of like, yeah, all right, hey, this is great. And everyone was, like, dancing and shucking and jiving. And I was like, I love how much fun everyone's having, except for Sean, who's having a terrible time. He's so mad.
He's mad throughout this whole film. But yeah, the other crew can do their stupid stuff, and then they can come out and do better.
Oh, yeah. And God, oh, man. This was, I don't know if this might not mean anything to you, but there was somebody in the Grim Knights crew in that opening dance who I was so thrilled to see. A man by the name of Guy Da Silva. Do you know who Guy Da Silva is? Stuntman extraordinaire?
Is he the one that does all the karate stuff?
Yes. He's the one who does he does all the Bruce Lee type stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Did he do the drunken boxing, or that's is him. This a different guy?
That's him. Yeah. He does that in the opening dance. And then we never see him again. I was looking for him every time the Grim Knight showed up, and Guy Da Silva was not with them, and I was so sad. But if you watch, shout out to the Corridor Crew, like a great YouTube channel. They do like VFX breakdowns, stuntman breakdowns. Guy Da Silva is like one. He started off as a guest, and now he's kind of a part of their crew, and he's great. He doubled for Black Panther in Civil War. Guy Da Silva is like stuntman extraordinaire. He's awesome.
So I typed in Guy Da Silva into Google, and I spelt it absolutely correctly, except for I used E at the end of Silva instead of the A, which is like almost the most obvious part of the spelling.
Yeah, certainly you wouldn't expect it to be G-U-I-D-E, I can't remember, or D-A-S-I-L-V-E.
Yeah. Exactly. But I got it all right up until the E.
And Google went, we don't know who you're looking for.
Yeah. Silva, do you mean A, you idiot? Are you still using Google? I want to switch over to DuckDuckGo.
I don't know. I use whatever Firefox gives me, and I guess it's Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alta Vista.
Hey, so the first the Grim Knights dance to the song Lap Dance by NERD. And while that's a great song, and NERD is great, but there's a line in it that's always bothered me. Do you know the line I'm talking about? Are you familiar with the song?
Give it to me.
Well, the line is, Pharrell very aggressively says, I dare a motherfartin' to come in my face. And I don't know what he means when he's saying that. I don't know what, like, he says it a bunch. He says it all over the song. And I it's weird that, like, a big hit like that has such an overtly sexual energy to it.
Does he say it like, I dare motherfartin' to come in my face so real?
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah.
I think he's talking about cum.
He must. And I dare a motherfartin' to come in my face.
Yeah, I agree with him.
I mean, he's got his headset, he's got his VR set on, he's watching VR Bukkake, he's daring Martin to come in his face, and then they give it to him, they give him the grease. They go, here comes the glue, Pharrell. And he goes, thank you, Chad Hugo.
I really want to come out with a VR Bukkake where it's all line work. You never get to the front of the line, but that's where it ends. Yeah. But
oh, you know what Guy De Silva also did during this dance number? A friggin' one-legged standing front flip. Insane. Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, whoa.
Crash. Is that the finale of that dance battle?
That might be the pin that just like deflates the mob.
It was absolutely beautiful. And I was like, okay, they're back. They're all in.
Yeah. I'm in, you're in, we're in, or whatever that stupid movie was about.
Yeah, exactly.
So the mob is so sad. They're done with LA. They're done with losing dance battles. And so everyone is like, hey, Sean, we're going back to Miami. We're done with LA. And he's like, no, you got to stay. And they go, no. Like, we're done, man. We don't have any money. We don't have any prospects. It's over. We're going back to Miami. And he goes, well, fine then. Go. Get out of here. Get out of my life. Get out of here, you losers. And they're like, all right, fine. And then later on, he's like, you guys quit on me. And they're like, you kicked us out, man. We weren't quitting on you. We were quitting on LA. We're not quitting on you, idiot.
And they both separately discovered the Vortex, this video that you can make for this dance competition in Vegas. Yeah. And neither of them like talked to each other and said, hey, there's this thing. Let's get back together.
Yeah.
And do it. But it's all on the leader, apparently.
I guess so. Yeah. Eddie or Twitch or any of the other crew could have reached out to him, but they were like, no, we're not doing it either.
They all got phones.
Yeah.
This is the internet age, baby.
Yeah. Also, the Vortex definitely looks like a scam. Like, 100% looks like a scam when they find the website that they have for it looks like a scam. It all just looks like a scam.
The production value on it is absolutely beautiful. I thought this movie was going to be an advertisement for, like, the internet. I thought we were going to go, like, flashback to Google.com a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there was going to be a lot of internet stuff throughout this movie. But it quickly kind of goes away after the initial video upload.
Well, I love that Sean is, like, he's on his computer sad, closing a bunch of tabs of, like, auditions in L.A., this dance crew, this, closing all these tabs really sad. And then he goes, wait a minute. Opens up a new tab and types in, dance auditions, Los Angeles. Like, and then clicks on the first thing at the top, which is an ad. It's like, have you never used the internet before, bro? Also, like, what do you think was going to come up? You already closed a bunch of auditions.
Well, this is 2014, so maybe it wasn't an ad yet.
It was. It said ad next to it.
Well, the Vortex has to advertise. That's just a marketing 101.
And apparently the Vortex is a reality TV show for VH1. I guess it's not it's not real, obviously. Although, there is a moment in the movie where it's like, text your favorite dance crew to text Vortex to 1253 or whatever. It's like, oh, so is this real? What is this? What's happening?
I don't think it is, but I wonder if at the time you could like text that number and you probably got something back like, hey, thanks for supporting Step Up All In. We love you. Yeah. We're still going to charge you $3.
Yeah, well, exactly. Hey, thanks for giving us your phone number so we can sell it and get a little bit of cheddar cheese for it. We appreciate it, you dummy.
Marketing always loves to refer to money as cheddar cheese.
Oh, yeah, you bet they do.
They like to make sure you're not thinking about money when you're thinking about money, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, money makes money. As a very smart man once said, money makes money.
Oh, my cat is being so cute. She's just in a ball.
No.
Just a big ball.
So the prize for winning the Vortex is a 3-year residency in Vegas, which, like, how did that come together? How was VH1 putting that together?
I don't know, but the musical talent is some weird lady. I didn't know that she was the singer, or the host,
yeah,
or what was happening, but I think she's all three.
What's her name? It's like Anna...
Anna Fires.
Anna... Anti-Vax, I think is her name.
I think her name is Pandemic's Coming.
I don't remember what her name is. It doesn't matter.
In 7 years.
This is not a political podcast.
No, but you know it is.
Well, no, it's not.
I am firmly entrenched in politics.
All right. Well, anyway.
Alexa
yeah.
Brava.
Alexa Brava. I don't think that's a real person. Like, I don't think Alexa Brava is anything. She kind of looks like that Chloe DeVigny or whatever her name is, that actress model person.
Her name is Isabella Miko, real life.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know who that is, and clearly nobody else does.
Well, it seems like it was the role of the lifetime, because anything she's been in is just one episode of TV shows.
She's played Alexa Brava in everything that she's been in. She's a real Hannah Montana.
She's been in every version of NCIS.
Playing Alexa Brava, connecting all of these things together.
Mm-hmm. She's the Kramer of her of the new generation.
Absolutely, yeah. Which means that Channing Tatum could show up in NCIS. Just saying.
Speaking of the Tatum,
yeah.
Were you a little disappointed that he doesn't rear his head in this?
Yep. I mean, I knew he wouldn't come back for it, because why would he at this point? But there was a hope. A bit, but I feel like if he came back, he would have outshadowed. Like, everyone would have been in his shadow, and that's not fair to Andy and Sean and Moose and Robot Man and Twitch and Eddie and all these characters we've come to know and tolerate.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
Is Eddie in anything else? Like, he seems like he was in, like, Break the Yard or something.
I don't know. He's my least favorite character and actor in this franchise, I think. He sucks. But
yeah, he was on an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show.
Oh, that's nice. He played Ben Schwartz.
Yeah, the only credit after Step Up All In is Comedy Bang Bang the show.
Hey, did he dance? Is his character name like Dancer 3?
A police officer. Ooh. So he probably is a police officer that dances.
So he definitely didn't do anything after this. Well, that's too bad for him. Well,
good for him.
Well, you know, he dares Martin to come in his face.
Do you think that's sexual?
I don't think. Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you say it.
Yeah.
And who you're talking to.
You just have a sexual lilt to everything you say. You make things so horny to me.
Well, speaking of horny, Moose is back and Camille is back and they're dating. They have Moose is an engineer and he's got an apartment and a dime of a partner and just a love of dance.
Yeah, and they can see the Hollywood sign from their apartment, which is the sign of having a good apartment in LA.
Can they?
I didn't
notice that.
Huh. Well, it was in between the dancing.
Right, and I don't care about that. None of that means anything to me. I black out. I go into a coma when there's not. And then as soon as I hear music, I come out of it again. I'm like the Robot Man.
Yeah. You can either say you're blacking out or you're practicing meditation.
Exactly. You know, since this is episode 100, I thought about doing something special. Obviously, we didn't. But I'm telling you, this is what I thought about doing. Chad Smith, the robot guy from this movie, is the only cast member from Step Up who's on Cameo, and I almost dropped $80 to get a Cameo from him to be like, hey, congratulations on 100 episodes. I'm not gonna spend 80 goddamn dollars on that, so it just, you know, it didn't work out.
Is that U.S. too? Because the Haitian to U.S. ratio is probably ridiculous.
No, I'm doing the conversion in my head. It was $60-some dollars U.S., so probably about $80-some dollars Haitian, and I don't have that. I don't got that kind of loose cash floating around.
It's insane to me that the person who famously does not talk is the only one on Cameo. Does he like say anything or does he robot at you?
Well, he was pretty new. He didn't have any like sample Cameo, so I'm guessing when he does his Cameo, he just goes and you go, wow, this was $80, huh? Jesus, what a waste.
I apologize for this joke in this in advance, but did you say that he was pretty new or pretty nude?
Well, hey, both can be true.
Both can be true.
Both are true.
Mm-hmm. My whole thing with this whole movie, they bring in people from all the movies, and like,
yeah,
they dim and dash, and they have them all battle against each other. They go all in, as it were. But my whole thing is, where the frick are the Jabberwockies?
Man, that's all I could think as well. They, especially considering when we get to Vortex, the Vortex, there's like, at the first round, there's 10 dance crews or something like that, and none of them are the Jabberwockies. I'm like, where's the love?
Where is the love?
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of Black Eyed Peas, the song Pump It is like a 10 out of 10 great song. Great song.
It's an amazing song.
Yep.
I do have to get out that the first round of the Vortex, they show highlights of all these dance crews that are competing. Why not just freaking take 30 minutes of this movie and show all of the routines?
Yeah, this movie should be 2.5 hours long. Because spoiler alert, this movie is almost 2 hours long as it is.
This movie should be as long as it is. But take out all the stupid training montages, take out the moose storyline, and just show the dancers dancing when they're competing.
Right. Yeah, I agree. They all get like a little, like literally they get 5 seconds essentially of screen time. And it's like, you couldn't have given them 10? Give them 10.
Yeah, give them 10.
Yeah.
You got them for the day or the month.
Yeah, you got them. Give them.
Yeah, give them the screen time, baby. Yeah.
But hey, guess who else is in the Vortex now? Oh my God, it's the Mob. They're back and they joined the Vortex. Oh, also, the new crew is named Elementrix, but it's spelled with no vowels. Elementrix. One vowel.
Elementrix. What does that mean? What does mine say?
Elementrix. What does mine say?
What does that mean? Like, I think it means like elementary X. Like,
yeah, children of elementary school age are give me the ick.
Yeah, Elementrix.
Sean so confidently types it in. He's like, and our crew name is Elementrix. And nobody went, no, bad. Try again.
Yeah, they opposited that and went, oh, yeah, that's a great name. And I almost had to pause the movie and really, like, try to figure this out because it hurt my brain, the name of this crew. It's not a word. You can barely figure out the words that it's made of or what it means.
Well, and like Moose's grandma says, Lemontrix. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you would call them. You wouldn't call them Elementrix, that's for sure. You'd say, oh, Lemontrix. Okay, yeah. Like, as someone who has a podcast named Fivesure that apparently people don't know how to pronounce, Elementrix is also going to be hard to pronounce. They're definitely going to mispronounce it on the show, and you don't want that. You want brand recognition.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. This dumbfounded me in so many ways. I just realized the other humor that they try to inject and how they do it. With Moose's auntie and uncle
or grandpa.
Parents?
No, you know who Moose's parents are. It's Kathy Najimy.
Oh, right. That's the Najimy.
Yeah, this is
his
grandparents.
An auntie and uncle?
No, grandparents.
Grandparents. They're the comedic foil in the rest of this movie. They're the comedic through line.
Also insane that they didn't bring back Kathy Najimy. Like, you already have a comedic powerhouse. Why bring in these old yokels? Bring in Kathy the Queen Najimy.
It's probably a money thing, baby.
Yeah, it's all a money thing, baby. This movie shows a lot of restraint. Because the competition takes place in Las Vegas, they only have people say Vegas, baby, 3 times. And that's so much restraint.
So much restraint. Very, like, subtle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's Moose who says it every time.
Of course it's Moose. How do you feel about Moose?
I like him less and less as the series is. My love for Moose has been slowly replaced with my love for Twitch. Like, it's like those two kind of swapped spots for me. And now I'm all about Twitch in these movies and less about Moose. Also, listening, like, editing these episodes and going back to them, every prediction I had across this entire May I Have This Dance has been wrong. Every time that I've said, like, well, get used to these two, they become the main character of the series, they do not. People, I've been wrong every time. Every step of the way I've been wrong, and I love it.
There's so much mixing and matching and changing from movie to movie. It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so dumbfounded at the beginning of this movie, because they finally bring back a whole crew and it's the one I hated the most.
I know, right? What did you think of Chad? What did you think of Chad, the rumba dancer who they bring in, who demands to join their crew?
A little too sexual for me. I don't like my characters or my, like, you know, personalities to be too sexual.
You're famously not a sexual person.
Yeah, not sexual at all. So, like, his greaseback hair... Actually, I thought he added a lot to the dancing. And he was amazing in The Last Dance, because every time you had like a transition, you had him and a couple guys beside him come out and do his crazy like breakdancing stuff.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
Yeah, he's really good. Also, I need to set your head straight on something. So last episode we talked about how sexual you are, but in editing that episode you don't say anything sexual leading up to that. I am extremely sexual leading up to that point where I go, you're very sick. I inadvertently gaslit you in that episode, and I'm sorry. You're not I'm the sexual person. I'm the sexual dynamo on this show.
How about we split it right down the middle and call each other sexual deviants and move on?
All right, I'm into that. That's great. Yeah, you know what, speaking of sexual deviants, that's one thing I didn't like about Chad, is that they made him a creep. I was like, you don't have to do that. Like, and then then the girl who he's creeping on just kisses him for no reason at the end of the movie. And it's like, well, why did that happen? That doesn't make any sense. He's been nothing but gross to her this whole time.
I feel like that was a trope throughout the movies in that period of time, where there was one guy that was skeevy and like all overtly sexual. And then the person opposite him was like, no, no, no. And then at the end they give up, and that's a romantic, beautiful story somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. He wears her down, and then she relents to his disgusting, creepy advances. Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know why that was so hard, like a heartwarming romantic tale back in those days.
But man, can he dance? Oh my God. When he's like trying to join the crew, and he's like, let me join the crew. And they're like, no offense, man, but like, Roomba and two-step isn't really what we're looking for. And he goes, okay, check this out, mother farting. And he does like a one-handed windmill. And I'm just like, holy shit, this guy's crazy talented.
That guy has crazy spin skills. Like, his breakdancing on the floor is unreal.
He is easily a better dancer than like all of the main characters. Like, he has so much talent for dance compared to Sean, who like isn't a great dancer, and Moose, who barely dances in this movie.
I don't want to disparage all these hardworking and very talented people, which is basically what we do a lot.
That's all we do.
But Moose, I just don't get it, man. I feel like he barely dances, and he does like these weird like small moves, and everybody's like blown away. And then intersperses Michael Jackson stuff. And
Moose should lead a Cirque du Soleil show. Like, he should be like the ringmaster of a Cirque du Soleil show. He's a great entertainer, but he's like a fine dancer. But I really feel like at the end when he's like walking around carrying that big like suitcase during the dance number, and he's like, and then he puts it down and opens it up, and like light comes out and people are climbing out of it, I'm like, that's just Cirque du Soleil shit. Like, why isn't he doing that for a living? He would be great at that.
Well, they are in Vegas, and spoiler alert, they dance second, so they win.
Well, we don't know. Well, I guess they do win. Yeah, that's true. Well, even though they say it's not about winning and losing, let's just have a good time tonight.
Well, they find out the whole competition is rigged, just like all reality competitions. They have like at least one or two horses in the race that they know can like actually do this job and like deserve all this money and stuff.
Yeah, and they're crumpled by that realization. They're absolutely crumpled by it when it's like, like you said, do you not know reality TV? Like, that's what reality TV is. Fake. What are you doing?
Like, all the Last Comic Standing, all the fashion shows, all the baking shows, they have one or two people that are professionals in this industry and have proven skills.
Yeah.
So they're not just giving money away to, like, they have talent on the screen.
Yeah.
So it's entertaining.
Yeah, they don't just give money away to people who smoke diamond and say, well, it's not crack, it just looks like crack.
great introduction to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how can pot stickers taste so much better in Vegas? Well, that's because they're egg rolls. So there is humor in this movie. You're absolutely right. That's the best joke in the movie.
That's the best joke in the movie by far, for sure. I wrote none of the jokes down because it's all about the dance, baby.
And I love that breakdance ride that they go on, that spinny ride that Sean and Andy end up on, and they're like dancing, the Bobby Brown song's playing. That's great.
Oh, yeah, that was a good scene.
Yeah.
And it was something that was missing in the last movie. There was no like artful like couple dance numbers.
There was nothing like, fun.
Yeah. There was no fun. They really took the fun out of Step Up in the fourth movie.
And you know, well, here's a sad thing I just realized. That graffiti artist and the DJ from the mob are no longer with the mob.
Nah.
They didn't make it to LA from Miami. They got cut very quickly.
They probably got like real jobs or something. Or like
yeah.
were so talented that they could work for Nike long term.
Yeah, Nike brought them in and kicked the rest of the dance crew out.
Oh, that's really beautiful, and we can market this like crazy. How about we give you $100,000 a year?
Oh, okay, yeah. To be a DJ? Oh.
Well, maybe not the DJ, but hey, like the artist.
People don't just disappear in Vegas. Actually, it happens all the time.
Humor!
Humor! That's some serious humor.
You wrote more jokes down than I.
Yeah, there's some funny jokes. There's some funny jokes in there.
And true. Like, RIP to all the missing from Vegas over the years.
Yeah. Certainly. I mean, like, there's the dance sequence that they do in the boxing ring I thought was really good, where Elementrix faces off against the mob in the second round of the finals. I thought that was a really good dance-off. There's also a Lil Wayne song where he has the line, "She gives me brain," which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, that's oral for everybody out there.
Well, that's research, according to Lil Wayne.
Very true. Very true. Do your research. Do your own research.
Oh, yeah. True enough, yeah.
Yeah, the boxing ring was great. When it first came out, I was very like, oh, they're just trying to cut costs and do this very simple like warehouse shoot. But it was a nice, fun time. And having that like bouncy floor for them to dance off gave them a couple of things to do. So,
well,
yeah, it's fun.
There's three rounds for that. Like, it's like they do it like a boxing match where a girl walks through the card that's round one, round two, round three. The third round dance is maybe the best dance sequence in this movie. Like, it's, I can't even really describe it, but it's just so good, especially the part where Sean tries to force Andy to do a huge flip that she didn't want to do, and he's just grabbing her, being like, trust me, and she's like, no, I don't want to do this.
My knee!
Yeah, I hurt my knee. Like, I love when he's trying to get her to do that move earlier in the movie, and he's like, okay, I want you to put your foot in my hand, then your other hand here, your foot on my leg, and then grab me behind the neck, and she's like, what am I doing? And he's like, just trust me. No, tell her what she's doing. You're going to throw her in the air, man. Don't say trust me.
Yeah, they finally do it in the end, and you can't just trust through that. You have to go through the specific beats over and over and over again to get to that sort of move.
Yeah, oh yeah, and they do it at the end, and it's awesome. It's like, it's a cool move that they do, but yeah, no, he just chucks her into the air, and he was just going to do that without being like, now hold your body stiff and straight, like, just throw you in the air, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you have to flip while you're in the air, and like, contort your body and land a specific way. Like, that would have taken weeks to like, choreograph and do in the actual training to do it for the end. It's so good that the leader of the Grim Knights goes, whoa.
Oh, yeah, and he's right to say that.
Mm-hmm. I thought the end dance sequences on both sides, the Grim Knights and the combo of the mob and Elementrix and others, was amazing.
You mean Divine Intention?
Right. Is that what they called them? I wasn't paying attention. I was just watching the dancing.
That was the all-female crew. Although when they bring the crews back together, they don't mention that they're bringing back the Divine Intention. We only know that because the robot lady from that crew, who's the love interest of the robot man in our crew, is there. And I went, oh, Divine Intention must be there as well, I guess, if they got the robot girl.
Well, definitely the robot girl is there. Who knows? Everybody else probably left town.
I'll give this movie credit. The last couple of movies, they don't just showcase the male dancers. All the female dancers have like a moment to shine, and they all get cool moves, and equal opportunity. I like that.
Yeah, I thought in every way the Last Dance battle was amazing and really brought the whole series together in a great way. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I really liked it. I know I said the third round is the best, but like that the finale was, it really was, they went all in on it. And you know, as Sean says famously, they brought the fucking house down.
they truly did. I don't even know what else to say about it. Just like watch it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's probably a single video on YouTube, the last battle of All In, but like, just it's something to see. It's really fun.
There's a nice shot of Sean, Andy, and Moose all dancing together in the spotlight, kind of in the center of the stage, and I was just like, ah, damn, like, this is it, guys. You've gone all in. Like, this, we've come to the end of May I Have This Dance, and it lifted my spirits, but also made me a little sad, because it was just this beautiful moment, but it's the last time we're going to see these characters.
It's all in, but it's also all done.
Yeah, they should have called it Step Up, All Done.
Yeah, Step Up, Balls All Drained.
Oh, beautiful. By the way, I'm not going to censor that F word I said earlier. That one's going in uncensored, much like it is in this movie.
Well, it slipped in, and nobody can, hate us for slipping it in.
Hey, Dr. Steve Creep, what did you think of Step Up, All In? And also, what did you think of May I Have This Dance?
Well, I will sum those up, as well as summing up 100 amazing episodes of the Pure Boys podcast. I thought the last movie was pretty good. I think it could have been shorter. The whole Moose cheating scenario was so dumb and really kind of took me out of the movie. But other than that, like, what a way to end it. You should have given this movie to Twitch, though. Mm-hmm. May I take my clothes off? Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that I was right about one thing, and that is that the Step Up franchise is pretty damn entertaining.
Yeah, it's fun to watch these movies, and if you want to have fun and not really dig into deep character work or crazy plots, just watch this movie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, hey, Dr. Steve Creep, what a pleasure it's been doing 100 episodes of Pure Boys podcast with you, talking about God movies and cowgirl movies and male stripper movies and Christmas movies and
City Slickers.
Talking about City Slickers, yeah, talking about John Voight movies. It's been such a ride these first 100 episodes, and I love you, and I really love doing this show with you.
I love you too, and I love doing the show. It's a great outlet for me to be able to be comedic and have fun, and I look forward to doing this with you every week, except for the weeks I'm having a panic attack.
Sure, of course. Yeah. We'll cut that out. Don't worry.
No, leave it in.
Well, until next week, when Pure Boys is maybe, I don't know, we'll see what happens, or maybe a little bit of glow up, we'll see what happens next week. I love you.
I love you.
We love you. Also, fuck God. Please. We're over that God shit. We're done with it. We're not doing God shit anymore. Fuck that.
We're not doing God shit. Also, we're not ending the show.
But the God shit, that's done. We're not doing that anymore. We're done with that God stuff. We might even change our names. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The B, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S. It's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Pure Boys 2?